Welcome to Silly History. I'm Matt Bakarski. I love funny stories, especially when they come from real life. I've compiled a long list of true tales that made me laugh, and now I want to share them with you. There's a lot of crazy stuff historical figures did or said, and yet we've never heard about them. History class would have been a lot more interesting with some of these sprinkled in here and there. Hopefully there's at least a couple of yarns you haven't heard before. Let's hear one now. Just for a second, think about some of the greatest performances you've ever seen or heard. There are so many examples in the music, movie, television, and theater industries. And the ones we consider the greatest of all time? We can all agree they're tough acts to follow. The Cherry Sisters were one of those acts way back in the day. Ella, Elizabeth, Addie, Effie, and Jessie were born and raised in Marion, Iowa, to devout Christian parents whom they lost at a young age. Even their brother Nathan, who went on a trip to Chicago, was never heard from again. But their lives would forever change in 1893 when the World's Columbian Exposition was held in Chicago. In order to scrounge enough money to go to the World's Fair, the Simple Farm Girls cobbled together an unforgettable stage act filled with one-of-a-kind routines. With no formal training and zero experience, the sisters tromped onto the stage and performed their variety act, Something Good, Something Sad, in front of their friends and neighbors. They received a warm applause and enough money to realize they had something going for them, so they took their act on the road. The sisters spent their well-earned money on travel expenses to Chicago, and while visiting, they auditioned for an agent. He sat there, watching in disbelief the caliber at which these Iowan yokels performed. He had never seen anything like it before. Their uniqueness was so singular, he took them on as clients and sent them on tour throughout the Midwest. As the girls moved from one town to the next, more and more people were desperate to see the act for themselves. News of the Cherry Sisters spread far and wide, reaching the ears of Willie Hammerstein, one of New York City's most successful producers. Business wasn't going well for Willie. His theater, Olympia Music Hall, was on the brink of bankruptcy. He needed a surefire act to rake in the dough and get himself out of the hole. He booked the girls, and Something Good, Something Sad ran sold-out shows for 6 weeks. At the end of the run, Willie was back in the black. Then, the pinnacle of their critical reviews came out in the New York Times. The title said it all. Four freaks from Iowa. They presented a spectacle more pitiable than amusing. An excerpt from the commentary read, "The effects of poverty, ignorance, and isolation are much the same all over the world, and the Cherry Sisters exhibited every one of them with pathetic frankness that left no question as to their status or their character." In other words, the Cherry Sisters' act was as rotten as an old tomato, something with which the siblings were very accustomed to seeing hurled at them during one of their memorable performances. Another reviewer described his first sight of the sisters as creatures surpassing the witches in Macbeth in general hideousness. The mouths of their rancid features opened like caverns, and sounds like the wailing of damned souls issued therefrom. In reality, people were flocking to see the Cherry Sisters because they were billed as America's worst act. And it truly was. After marching onto the stage, Elizabeth sat down and played the piano, while Jessie banged on a large bass drum and the whole of them sang, "Cherries ripe, boom die, cherries red, boom die. The Cherry Sisters have come to stay." This was immediately followed by Jessie, draped in an American flag, warbling a patriotic song called "Fair Columbia." Then Elizabeth crowed in her Midwestern accent a traditional Irish ballad. Effie narrated their skit, "The Gypsy's Warning," in which Jessie impersonated an innocent, barefooted maiden who falls victim to a swashbuckling Lothario, played by Addie. They finished on a high note with a living sculpture diorama titled "Clinging to the Cross," in which Jessie hung from a crucifix. So, when the editor of the Chronicle in Audubon, Iowa, characterized them as creatures surpassing the witches in Macbeth, the sisters took onus and sued for libel. The county court ruled in favor of the newspapers, so the sisters appealed to the state Supreme Court. Unfortunately, they too sided with the lower courts, stating, If there ever was a case justifying ridicule and sarcasm, it is the one now before us. From the Cherry v. Des Moines Leader case comes the protection of fair comment and criticism in libel law. The reaction of every audience was identical. Give or take the vegetable or other item of choice, a member would vehemently hurl at the girls. Tomatoes, turnips, cabbages, and eggs were standard issue. Others threw their cigars and cigarettes. One member sprayed a fire extinguisher into one of the sisters' face, forcing them to perform behind a protective wire screen. But for whatever reason, and no one really knows why, the sisters went on with the show. Every single time. The Cherry sisters didn't stop selling out until the sudden death of their youngest sister, Jessie, in 1903. Their act was certainly a tough one to follow, if, that is, you could find one worse than them. To put it more accurately, it was the act that anyone could follow. Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, please subscribe, give it a 5-star rating, and share with not one, but two of your friends.